It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Sky Daniels, and in studio with me now is Afi Yerbinen. Close?
That was a very good attempt.
An attempt.
Well, I mean, as a newcomer to my foreign last name, I appreciate that effort. You know,
give me the best.
My mom would say Yerbinen.
Yerbinen.
But you know, I don't expect everyone to roll their R's right off the bat. You got to practice Yerbinen. That sort of thing. You know,
Yerbinen. See, but I was afraid if I went there, I'd sound less Finnish and more Russian.
Yeah, yeah, well, that'd be okay too. They took a good chunk of Finland in the war.
But that leads us to the fact that you also have taken on a moniker of Bahamas, which I guess can be a solo act,
mm-hmm.
a band, or your particular state of mind at the moment, yes?
That's pretty accurate, yeah. It kind of floats between all of those things,
right?
Depending on the situation.
And you hail to us now from a small town in Canada, in Ontario, I believe. Is it correct?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a smaller town, but I live in Toronto.
Which is not a small town.
Not a small town. You know, there's a big community there, a big musical community there, too.
Great musical community there and a vibrant one. However, when you were just starting out, I guess you had to, like many musicians who don't live in entertainment centers like Toronto, you had to forge your own sense of what kind of musician you were going to be, because there probably wasn't that great a scene or that influential a scene around you. Yes,
there was a lot of classic rock radio and a lot of heavy metal bands and, you know, tribute acts and things like that where we grew up. So I mean, we kind of, you know, I'm sure like most suburban kids, like once you get to high school, you kind of meet other like-minded
right
individuals and right. gravitate towards them, and sort of within that group, you know, we sort of looked beyond that. And And there was a lot of cool sort of independent music that was happening in Canada at that time.
Any acts in your nascent stages that you would say really inspired you, you know? Perhaps you saw them, they came through town, or you went to see
yeah,
them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all my friends and I, we were really into what was happening in the East Coast of Canada. There was a band called Sloan.
Right.
And they had their own label, and this other band called Thrush Hermit and Super Friends and Local Rabbits and all these sort of bands that were, you know, relatively active in the, right. in the early 90s in Canada. And, yeah, we just kind of looked to that community, and that was really inspiring, you know, to think that we might be able to do something like that. I mean, we never ultimately did, but, you know, we still, helped each other out, you know, doing shows and making recordings and things like that.
Now when you, moved to Toronto, obviously there is, one of the richest music scenes in the world, and one that I often wondered in working with a lot of Canadian acts from the label side. I always appreciated the fact that the Canadian government offers grants to mm-hmm. support acts, particularly in coming into other territories.
Mm-hmm.
And there also is a commitment to Canadians, you know, indigenous musicians
yeah.
from the government.
Yeah.
Both in the media sense and just in the government sense, they support in more of a, I guess, a nationalistic or a socialistic sense, development of new acts. Have you been the beneficiary of a little aid from the government?
I have, you okay. know, and the majority of you know, touring bands especially take advantage of that. And, yeah, it's a bit of a dividing topic. I mean, on one hand, it's fantastic to have those resources, especially when you're touring in America or overseas. You know, I mean, it gets expensive to just move five people around the world, you know. On the other hand, I think it does obviously support a lot of music and art that isn't necessarily commercially viable.
Right.
And that's not a bad thing, but you know, I think there is a lot of people who sort of make a career or a living
the dole
out of those subsidies, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess I try and be weary of negotiating that line. You know, I hope, you know, and aspire that one day, you know, we would be able to sort of be standalone.
Sounds just like this radio station.
Yeah, exactly. You take the help only where you need it, sort
right.
of thing, you know?
Right.
Not take advantage.
The song's called Lost in the Light. Thank you. lost in the light. I pray for the night. Take me to take you to. After so many words, still nothing's heard. Don't know what we should do. And if someone could see me now, let them see you. Was my greatest thrill when we just stood still. You let me hold your hand till I had mine. Even counting sheep don't help me sleep. I just toss and turn right there beside you. So if someone could see me now, let them see you. Let them see you. See you through all those hard things. Oh, life is long, so you wouldn't be wrong. Being free, leaving me on my
coming from, you know, the indie label side of things, I would totally have loved your approach to recording bar chords.
Mm-hmm.
Clint Eastwood, as a filmmaker, would have been proud of the way you went in, got it done, and got out.
Yeah.
Was it truly a six-day process that you basically brought everyone together and made the record? Is that understating it, or is that about right?
Well, that's you know, everyone together in one room playing, and we did the bulk of the record. And then more or less what happens, I signed an American record deal, and you know, I was all excited to put this album out, and they said, well, we kind of like your first album, we want to re-release it here. So it was just a little bittersweet, because it more or less meant that we delayed you know, this second record,
right,
coming out. But in some ways, it was fortuitous, because it allowed me to you know, sit with the record and kind of reflect on it, and then I ended up going back and recording one more song. So
right.
So in truth, it was 7 days.
Okay.
Because we went back and re-recorded another song and added it to the record, and but we went to the same place and with the same people, and it just, you know, I think it definitely is cohesive.
But on the seventh day, you did not rest, because then you started taking off and working.
If you're
working.
A musician from Canada, you don't rest on the seventh day,
right,
or any other day.
On any other day.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, you just came from South by Southwest.
Yes.
How was the experience there?
It was enjoyably exhausting. Yeah.
How many gigs did you do?
I think we probably played around 10 times, right. Like just different
like
little
sessions
things,
with different blogs and magazines and actual playing in clubs.
Yeah, we played in bars and in churches and in hotel rooms and all kinds of weird places. But that's kind of the fun of it, you know. And I think you have to embrace that portion of it and just not knowing what you're walking into. And also, I mean, most of my time is spent sitting in the back of the van. So, you know, the reality is that I would rather spend that time playing music.
Getting to do 10 shows in one spot got you out of the van for that period of time.
Well, exactly. I mean, you're like, oh, I'm tired. This is exhausting. But I mean, it's exhausting just sitting in the back of the van eating power drinks and energy bars and stuff like that all day. So I would rather be playing music, you know, I'm just grateful to get the chance to, you know, there's obviously so many thousands of bands down there and it can be kind of overwhelming, you know.
Did that scope intimidate you or motivate you? Seeing it out, you know, everyone's vying for the golden ring, as it were.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a part of me that does realize that you know, you are in competition with virtually every other band out there. But at the same time, you know, I don't think you can let that affect what you're doing. You know, I think what you're singing about and writing about, you have to keep that thing pure, you know? And you wouldn't let anything permeate that, because then it wouldn't be true. Right. And you wouldn't be able to stand up there and sing those songs every night if it wasn't born of someplace from within you, you know?
Talk to me about where those songs on Bar Chords came from and how, coming from the first to the second record, you personally saw a bit of an evolution, if not, you know, real growth in what you're doing.
Well, I think that in the writing process, I just was very conscious of you know, the economy of the lyrics and the music too. And that's not to say that it's not like a realized recording. I really am happy with how it turned out. And I do think it's sort of more of a sonic statement than my first record. But I don't know. I just feel like lyrically this record is much more to the point, you know, and I just put far less between me and the song and, you know, the song and the listener, just really trying to just be as direct as possible.
Now you're in the States, you're aligned with Brushfire Records, which is Jack Johnson's label, as well as Universal Republic. And is there an allegiance beyond just a deal there? Is there some sort of mutual respect that you found with not only Jack, but with other label mates on Brushfire?
Well, absolutely. I mean, before the deal, I think that there's a friendship, you know, and we've been coming to play in LA for a few years, and every time we come, they came to the shows, and that relationship just sort of evolved. And it wasn't like they were hounding us, and we certainly weren't hounding them. We just sort of said, hey, you know, we're coming to town, let's hang out, and they came to the shows. And then basically we went surfing together, and it kind of sealed the deal. But no, I mean, I don't know how well you know them, but they really are the sweetest folks.
Yes.
It's a really small family operation, and you know, despite our geographic differences, I think that their whole thing is born from just wanting to do things that feel right and feel good and are fun, you know, and sort of share that experience with that community and that you know, those friends. And I mean, pretty much everything that I do in Toronto musically is for the same reasons, you know, is just to, if it feels good, that's probably the right thing to be doing. And, yeah, I don't know. That's a healthy place to start, you know, any musical relationship or business relationship.
All right. The song's called Caught Me Thinking.
Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
Before we parted, I would wonder what could make her stay. What was I thinking? As if my drinking was the only thing that drove her away. Was it ambition or attrition? Honey, you could always take it out. Now I know beyond a shadow of a doubt it's my fault. Got me thinking. Share my feelings. You hit the ceiling. I couldn't shake it if I tried. You were my lover, only to discover something inside me had died. Was it ambition or attrition? Honey, you could always take it out. Now I know beyond the shadow of a doubt it's my fault.
LA Times did a tremendous review of the record. I mean, it was an exemplary review. So it seems that, you know, that foothold in certainly Los Angeles has taken place. South by, great example. You're going to continue on doing a West Coast tour and a little bit more of America and then back up to Canada, right?
Yeah, we're sort of in and out of America for the next few months. And, you know, a lot of that is just the again, geography dictates a lot of that. You know, your country is very big.
Very in big. Case well, you your know. Country's I mean, not small.
Ours is really big, too, but there's only 25 gigs.
Right.
So, you know, yours is, there's considerably more here.
Yeah. You could do 25 gigs here in LA.
In California. Yeah, you could do 25 in LA. We probably should, actually. Right. We did 25 in Austin. Why not just set up shop in LA for a little bit?
That's an exhaustive template.
Yeah, that would probably not work so well with my domestic life. But,
right.
But, yeah, I think that's a good, we could try that. It's a good strategy.
Well, you know, we can always apply, you know, if you get the hankering, maybe we'll put it to the test.
Sure.
Speaking of playing in LA, you're going to play tonight at the Satellite.
We are, yeah.
Give the audience listening a sense of what they're going to hear in terms of the band and
sure.
the arrangements. And
Well, I mean, right now I'm touring with two singers, Felicity Williams and Carly Akins, and yeah, I play guitar and sing, and it's normally we have that plus a drummer, and our drummer and his wife have just had a beautiful baby boy, so he's on the Bahamas Pat Leave program right now, and he was in Austin and just flew home for a couple of days. But
you can
you
can stomp your feet pretty good, I'm sure.
Absolutely, yeah. I wouldn't say that you know, listeners would be missing anything. I'll bring the rhythm as well as okay. You know, the melody and harmony and everything.
It appears your drummer brought the rhythm too, but hey, yeah. Where's my drum roll? So the album's Bar Chords, tonight at the Satellite, and of course right now on 88.5 KCSN. Afy, I want to thank you for coming by and know that we're here to support you, and we are friends of your friends at Brushfire, so we
great.
Get everything you said, and we want the fans to know that a great singer-songwriter, a special singer-songwriter is going to be playing tonight, and if you have the opportunity, You may want to check them out. It's Bahamas here on 88.5 KCSN.